With MSO Basketball Insider, it's Mike Grenier. I'm Rick Moore, MSO News Sports. Happy to be back. It's been a while. Mike, we haven't talked for almost 3 weeks. A lot has transpired. So, number one, how are you doing? And number two, what's your very first thought that comes to mind about the Celtics?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine. And I know you had a great European trip, so I didn't have I don't have that kind of money to spend, Rick, you know? I'm just kidding you there. I had a great time. But my first thought, what comes to mind with the Celtics is, of course, the status of Kristaps Porzingis, the 7'3", big man, shot blocker, scorer, three-point shooter, and his continued unavailability. We don't know. I don't care what Joe Mazzulla – actually, Joe Mazzulla has been circumspect. He's been just sort of talking around the subject, and everyone in the media seems to be projecting that he'll be ready for game one on Thursday. I, for one, have serious doubts about that. I don't know about you, Rick, but he's been out for so long. He got injured on April 29th, and is now June 2nd, 3rd, whatever it is.
Yep.
And still no talk about him being a guarantee to start game one or game two in Boston. Which, of course, the NBA has done the Celtics a favor, though, Rick, right? By not starting until June 6th, it's given Porzingis an extra 8 or 9 days to get ready.
Yeah, I was surprised at that schedule when I saw them wrap it up. And, you know, they said it didn't matter what was going to happen in the West. But, Mike, you bring to mind a couple of things. And first of all, we all knew that Porzingis was a gamble to begin with. But he held up his end of the bargain for the most part, number one.
Yeah.
And then, B, it has the Celtics' talent and roster this year has overcome his unavailability. And I point primarily to, you know, not only the complementary players that are on the team, but to Al Horford.
Oh, Al Horford, yes. By the way, Turns, I think, is it today or tomorrow? It turns 38, and he's been remarkable. I mean, in his, Porzingis' absence, Rick, we've seen Horford play 35-minute game, a 40-minute game, a 42-minute game. A couple times they've had, you know, semi-blowouts where he's only had to play low 30s or 25 minutes. However, for the most part, he's been kind of an Iron Man, which is remarkable. It's a tribute to his workout ethic, the fact that he gets himself ready. He's ready to play the big minutes and all that. It's been remarkable, really. So give him a lot of credit. The Celtics badly need Porzingis, though. I know they've been able to survive without him. They've only had to play 14 games in three series. That's pretty amazing. They're 12-2. They only lost two games. They beat Indiana in the minimum four games. They beat the Miami Heat in the barely over minimum five games. And the same thing in the second round against the Cleveland Cavaliers. So they've been able to – I can't say they're coasting because they've had a lot of close games. However, like you pointed out, they've been able to survive – Porzingis' unavailability. But I think it's a different story here with Dallas coming in. Dallas is a red-hot team, and Kyrie Irving tends to penetrate, and Luka Doncic certainly tends to penetrate inside the paint, and that's where Porzingis can make a huge difference.
At this point, Mike, we talked about minutes during the entire season coming into the playoffs, and it seems to me that management has done really well with minutes because these guys are fresh. They're putting in a lot of minutes now. And at this point, Mike, seven games left, you know, at the most. Do we care that Tatum and Brown are going to get 40 minutes or so? Does that matter at this point?
No, because both of them, first of all, you mentioned those two guys. Obviously, those are the two cornerstones for the Celtics. And those two guys are used to playing big minutes. And I mean, Tatum was at the podium or a post-practice media session a day or two ago saying, let's get this going. Let's get this thing going. So he's eager to play. He's ready to play big minutes. So is Jaylen Brown, who's been, I think, terrific in the playoffs. And, of course, you got all the complimentary players, Derek White. You know, Jrue Holiday, in particular, won a championship 3 years ago. He can't wait to get this thing going, see if he can get his second title in 4 years. So, no, the minutes at this point now don't matter at all because they've already had an 8 or 9 day break, the Celtics have. And not only that, the games are spaced out in the finals. You play Thursday night in game one. Game two isn't until Sunday night. So the games are spaced out where minutes should not matter at all to the key guys.
Yeah, and of course, we mentioned Horford. He's a key guy. But the other guys are, I read something, you know, how young this team is overall, except for maybe Holiday, you know, and Horford.
Yeah.
And speaking of Horford, I'm going to go off the rails here just for a little bit. Maybe we'll get back to the playoffs. But Horford is interesting. I read a story today, I think, in the Globe. He's a quintessential Celtic. He's a Celtic. And, of course, it brings to mind how Bill Walton sort of reflected on his life in the NBA as a Celtic. And tell me a little bit about your interaction with Bill Walton.
Bill Walton, oh, man, that was such a huge loss because he was such a ray of sunshine to everybody he met. I mean, there have been so many great Bill Walton tributes since he passed away a week ago, and a lot of them are poignant, but a lot of them are also funny.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we just looked 2 years ago, Rick, and I call him a man of the people, because even as recently as 2 years ago, when his body is banged up, he's had like something like 37 surgeries on his feet and on his back. And 2 years ago, when the Celtics played the Golden State Warriors in the finals, he took the MBTA Orange Line from his hotel to North Station, where the Garden is, the TD Garden is. So he was riding amongst other fans, people who were commuters coming to and from work, and here he was getting onto the Orange Line and grabbing a strap rather than take anybody's seat and riding a couple of stops to the Boston Garden. And I remember him getting out of the Orange Line, walking onto Causeway Street, which is runs outside the Boston Garden, and just going into the Garden but talking to people, high-fiving people, signing autographs. He's always been a man of the people. That's the way I describe him. He's always been able to have interaction with fans because he put himself out there.
I didn't know half of those stories that I've read about, and he seemed like such a gentle giant and a good man. And I love the way that he reflects on the Celtics, that he's a lifelong Celtic, even though he played a little bit more than a year. And, his idol was Bill Russell, and that's so cool. Well, we'll have tributes to Bill Walton. We can talk later, but a couple of things back on the Celtics before we talk about the Mavs.
Yes.
The Celtics have won in many different ways. And what irritates me, I came back after 3 weeks in Europe, and I listened to all the doomsday talk for about 10 minutes on each of those stations. And they talk about consistently about the fact that the Celtics played, little sisters of the poor in the playoffs.
Oh.
Excuse me, it's the NBA.
Right. And you know what? If people want to analyze that a bit closer, the other knock, of course, on the Celtics was that, the Miami played without Jimmy Butler. That the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Celtics' second-round opponent, played a couple of games without Donovan Mitchell, who was their top player. And, of course, in the Indiana series, Tyrese Halliburton, who's really blossomed this year, he was injured for the last couple of games, didn't play. But those people who pointed that out conveniently forgot that of the 14 games the Celtics have played, Porzingis has missed 10 and a half of 14 games.
Yeah.
I mean, you do the math, that's like 70, somewhere around 75-78% of the playoff time. He has missed the Celtics 78% of the playoffs. So, come on.
Right.
You have to look at it both ways here.
Yep. And I said, it's the NBA, and it's sort of like the NFL. On any given day, your opponent can whip your ass because they're on scholarship as well.
Oh, yes.
All right. Now, the other thing, one more thing about the Celtics. I read something in the Globe about the Celtics style of play, and Mazzulla came, and I can't remember, I'd totally be paraphrasing here, but he said, we have to win by playing whatever style of basketball we have to play. Well, that says a hell of a lot about the versatility of the team, does it not?
Yeah, it does. It does. I think the most pleasant surprise for me, Rick, as a longtime observer watching the Celtics through these 14 playoff games, is that Jaylen Brown, if anything, is taking it to the basket more often than Jason Tatum. Tatum has gotten to be an extremely smart player, and he loves to take it to the basket. But he feels the collapsing defense as soon as he starts to take two or three steps towards the basket, and he kicks it back outside, or he steps back and takes a long-range jumper. But if he sees an opening, he's going to take it to the basket. He's been so agile around the hoop. But Jaylen Brown has just been putting his head down, and of course the term they use is going downhill. In other words, he's been going downhill and scoring at the basket a lot. He's been hitting his three-pointers very well, too.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been going downhill. He's using athletic skill to make these great layups and getting fouled. Of course, he's not exactly a good free throw shooter yet. He's not as bad as Giannis Antetokounmpo, but he still struggles at the foul line. And every time I see video of him, he's practicing his foul shots at practice. And it just doesn't translate to the game. He'll miss two or three for you. So you got to hope that the game isn't that close, and you say, oh, my God, if he had made those two or three free throws. But I think he's been great in terms of not just a complimentary. They've been very similar in terms of their production. If you look at Tatum's stats and Jaylen Brown's stats, they've been, both have been great. And, of course, you know, Derek White's been a little up and down, but for the most part he's been good. Jrue Holiday has been, I think, immense on both ends of the floor. Derek White, in terms of his defense, has been blocking shots. And, of course, you have Horford's been blocking shots and having a couple of excellent offensive games as well. So, you know, they have a lot of weapons. And I think that what you alluded to about Joe Mazzulla, that's what he's, I believe, talking about. They can play different styles. They can play a running game. They can play a half-court game. They can play something, a combination of those two things. Because there's such a good defensive team at times, they can get out in transition. So they have a lot going for them into this final series. And I say that knowing that both Doncic and Kyrie Irving are playing at an extremely high level for the Mavericks.
I want to get to that in a minute, but I think one of the Celtics' superpowers is their leadership on defense, and it's sort of like, I guess, a hockey team that comes back and backchecks so well. And I got to start. We talked about Holiday. He's an incredible defender. Derek White, great thing. The same thing. Porzingis, the rim blocker. But am I right in noticing that both Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum frequently are the first guys back on defense?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think both of them right now, they sense, like we just said 5 minutes ago, Rick, about it's seven games remaining at most, maximum. If the Celtics play great, who knows, they could win it in five or six or four. I mean, they're that good. I'm not saying they will, because I believe Dallas is playing by far its best basketball of the season. But you're right. Brown and Tatum are both taking great pride in playing great defense, both individually, getting back on defense in transition, being there, wanting to guard the opposing team's best players. I don't know how Mazzulla is going to strategize here in terms of guarding Kyrie Irving and Doncic. I would think my guess is going to go with Holiday and Holiday and Derek White on those two guys. But of course, Doncic, as you know, draws a lot of fouls. If he doesn't draw the fouls physically, he glares at the officials and he gets calls. He's a total whiner. Let's be honest with you. He whines more than Tony Bennett did. Okay, and he just goes to the foul line so often. So Mazzulla obviously is aware of that. The coaching staff is going to be aware that somebody who guards Doncic is going to get in foul trouble. So rotating defenders probably will be the way to go. So will Brown and Tatum be a part? Yeah, I think Brown and Tatum would love the challenge of guarding Doncic at particular points in the game. I think at strategic points in the game, if the game is close, I think Tatum, being a bigger guy, taller than Doncic, would want to take him on for a few possessions. And Jaylen Brown will have that same sort of, he'd love the challenge.
At this point in the finals, Mike, what's the role of the Celtics bench?
Well, you know, that's been up and down, Rick. I think that's open to question because Peyton Pritchard has been good. He hasn't been great, but he's been good, and he's not afraid to take shots. Sam Hauser, on the other hand, I believe I totaled it one day, something like 8% on three-pointers.
Whoa.
In the previous series, like 1 for 13, 2 for 14, somewhere in there. It was below 10%. And so I think Mazzulla's got to be very careful about how he uses Hauser. Does he put him in if they're up 12 points, and if he hits a couple of baskets, he puts him up by 18, or does he take the chance that maybe if he misses two or three three-pointers, then the opposing team gets the lead down to four? So I think he's going to have to be really careful about how he uses Hauser, because Hauser right now is a streak shooter, and he's on a bad streak.
Okay, finally, Mike, I think I'd ask you about what is the biggest, I don't want to say fear, because there's no fear of either of these teams at this point in the season,
right. But
what is the Dallas strength that could possibly, dent the Celtics' armor's weakness?
Well, I think it's going to have to be the complementary players that Dallas has, because I think we could almost pretty much count on, you know, when you look at Tatum and Brown and their production, it's eerily similar to what Dallas gets from their big two of Doncic and Irving. I mean, the point totals, like somewhere between 50 and 52 points combined, is just about the same. You know, Doncic and Irving and of course, Tatum and Brown. Rebounding is somewhat... No, Celtics have an edge in rebounding because Tatum's been an excellent rebounder. The shooting percentage is about the same. The assist percentage is a little bit higher for Dallas because Doncic gets a lot of assists. So I think the biggest, let's say, like you said, you wouldn't call it a fear. The biggest concern the Celtics might have is somebody else for Dallas gets hot. They have a rookie, Derek Lively, who's more of a shot blocker and a defender than a scorer. Tim Hardaway can come off the bench and hit threes. They have this guy, Jones, who's a three-point shooter. If he gets hot and gets 15 points in the game, the Celtics could be in trouble. But when you look at the Celtics' extra players, meaning the non-stars, the Celtics have far more threats than Dallas does offensively and defensively. When you're talking about Horford, when you're talking about Derek White, when you're talking about Holiday, you know, those guys there are better than Dallas's complementary players.
Yeah, and I know that I was just ruminating on how Nitwit Radio is going to take the Celtics if they win and how they're going to talk about the Celtics if they lose. Yep. And it's like, I'm not going there anymore. I'm enjoying this. Final thing I want to ask you, Mike, then I'll give you the final word. The justification that the justice of Jaylen Brown being named, you know, the MVP of the finals after being overlooked as an all-star.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Well, it's funny how people read so much into body language and eye movement and smiles, and they analyze it to death. I blame the NBA for having one game every 4 weeks, you know what I'm saying? But they analyze that, and they say that Jason Tatum wasn't smiling enough or something after Jaylen Brown. It's so absurd on the face of it. It's completely absurd.
Yeah.
Jaylen Brown has addressed the relationship. Jason Tatum has addressed the relationship. Mazzulla, in no uncertain terms, addressed how good a relationship Tatum and Brown have. To me, that's a non-starter. It's a non-issue. They've been playing together for seven. If they hated each other, one of them would have wanted out 2 or 3 years ago. Okay. They both want this championship really bad, as do the other 12 or 13 players on the roster. So, to me, it's a non-issue. It's ridiculous. And, you know, getting back to our previous point about the biggest concern the Celtics have, to me is if they have Porzingis, that puts them at a huge advantage. If we can really count on Porzingis to play 30 minutes a game and be the scorer that he has been throughout the season, 20 points per game, to be the shot blocker that he was during the regular season. That turns the whole narrative around, because you can't have Doncic taking it deep into the paint because Porzingis is a very good shot blocker. You can't have Kyrie trying to finish off layups because Porzingis is a good shot blocker. So the disadvantage goes big time against Dallas if Porzingis is available. I'm hoping Porzingis could just play 26 minutes a game because he would make a tremendous difference. But we really don't know that, Rick. We really don't know until maybe game time or 1 hour before the game or whenever the rules stipulate whether a player has to be ruled in or ruled out. Mm-hmm. We really can't trust anybody to say that Porzingis. We can't trust Woj from ESPN because he's got sources in Saudi Arabia who tell you that Porzingis is going to play. It's totally ridiculous when I see the people who have these sources. Well, unless you're in the Celtics practice session and you're talking to Brad Stevens, your source isn't really that reliable, okay? Unless you're talking to Joe Mazzulla about Porzingis' health, your source is not reliable. The Celtics make that determination, and only the Celtics medical staff can make that decision.
All right, that's basketball insider Mike Grenier. We should be talking with him again next weekend after the opening round of the finals. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.